FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop? Transformers! Defenders
of truth! Robots who fight in this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 267. I am your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
Jack Bruner.
Hey, everybody.
And Rick Alvarez.
Yes, good to be back. And for the first time broadcasting from the vault in front of my nice brand new cases.
Yes.
So nice. I'm very excited to finally not have a background that's like my bedroom. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just, you know, it's nice to finally be able to appreciate some of my toys.
Yes. Well, you know, that's unfortunately sometimes we got to do that. You know, it's like, well, where I used to broadcast from, there was no bed. But now my collection room is also a bedroom. So. You know, it happens. But, you know, I want to apologize for not being live tonight. For some reason, a little backstory on this. My computer updated last weekend. And I hadn't had a chance to go through and make sure everything was working. Well, I went to set up for the podcast this evening and got everything set up. It's gave me some issues with my webcam, so apparently my webcam is no longer supported, so I'm kind of having to use my built-in iCam for my computer. And then whenever I went to click on stream, every time I click on stream, the app that we use to broadcast this show would crash. But fortunately, it is working and recording, so we are recording this, and then we will upload it as soon as it's done, and we'll have a delayed episode this evening, maybe early in the morning, because right after the show goes off, I'm going to be doing some streaming watching, so I don't know if that will affect that. But anyway, here we are, and we are going to be talking about some things tonight. I know a lot of things in the news lately, you know, some merger issues, or not merger issues, but merger talks between both Hasbro and Takara, and also Hasbro and Mattel. Found out earlier today that the Hasbro and Mattel thing kind of fell through. Mattel just said, you know, and but we're not going to be talking about the mergers but what would happen if said companies were to merger, what we think the benefits and the opposite of that, the anti-benefits, the non-benefits of that would be. Plus, we're also going to talk about how to piss off your fandom by putting a political agenda on your toys. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And if we got time, we're going to talk some about Rick's got some stuff that he wants to open up and say what's in the box. You know, and before we do all that, a lot of people's been getting their hands, getting their hands on these, the Power of the Primes.
You're looking at the wrong camera.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know which camera's working here. So, bear
camera
with me.
Camera two.
Yeah. Camera two.
Camera two.
There you go.
Yeah. The Power of the Primes. This is Slug, or well, I refuse to call him Slug. This is Slag.
You know, I came up with that name, Slug.
Did you?
I did. So that was while I was working at Hasbro, and it was because it was going to be in the fall of Cybertron game. We couldn't use the name Slag, so they came back with Snarl, because they didn't understand. They, you know, looked at the last time that figure got released, and they saw, oh, it's his name's Snarl, but this other guy's also named Snarl, because they looked at the Transformers animated Slag, which was named Snarl. Mm-hmm. So we had to, on the spot, just come up with a quick name. And I said, A to you, Slug. Done and done. And I just want to point out, Don, that anyone can see your credit card numbers right now.
Oh, really?
Just unfortunately not the three digits on the back.
Yeah.
The most important part.
Oh, God. Duran, can you get that out?
I don't know. Well, I won't have time to edit after this. So.
Oh, God, are you serious?
I'll have to go through and cut it out then. Yeah, but. Yeah. So
really,
okay.
Y'all really saw that?
Yeah, we could see. We could see all the numbers, your expiration date, and everything.
Oh my God! Please, Duran, take that out.
I will not upload it until I edit that out.
God, I didn't even realize. I didn't realize you were catching that. I'm sorry, Duran.
So, well, I will go through and see if I can blur that out in some Adobe Premiere here. But anyway.
But please leave this part in where we talk about it.
Yes, that will be.
Oh, God. Now we'll worry about that all night.
See, now we can see the back three numbers on it. That's great, because you just held it up to your forehead.
Quick, no, get a notepad.
We can't, Don. And no, Don, this is, since this is not live, you're not screwed. You're fortunate we're not live. So,
but, I mean, so were y'all kidding or not?
No, I was kidding. I was kidding. I'm not going to take your numbers. No, no.
I'm not taking your numbers, Don. I mean,
did you see it?
Yeah, of course.
I didn't.
It was up
there
for like
10 seconds. I personally didn't see it. I wasn't looking.
All you got to do is freeze frame it.
I just saw the card. I didn't really pay attention to the numbers.
The Russians now have your credit card number.
Okay. All right, Duran. Do we need to start over then?
No. I will go through and edit it out. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
You're just fortunate that we're not live, because if we were live, that would you would be really screwed right now.
But I didn't think about that, because I figured y'all couldn't even see it this low.
I wasn't even looking at the screen, so I didn't notice it. So, yeah, that's
right. Well, thank you for making sure I get edited out. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I will go through and edit this. but anyway, Power of the Primes. Any of you guys able to pick up any of these guys?
Nope. Didn't see a single one yet.
I found Dreadwing. That's the only thing the store I was at had, and no other store had any.
Yeah. I live in the forest of the Moon of Endor. Out in western Massachusetts, I went to three Walmarts, two Targets.
Well, Targets is about the only one people's been able to find these at so far.
Yeah, they get everything ahead of everybody else, because it's like my Walmart's like 3 months behind. Well, they still have like wave one of the last night stuff.
Well, the thing is, I know I was talking to Insane Galvatron on the phone, and he said that he tried the Lexington Targets in Lexington, Kentucky, and they were telling him that they have a street date of the 26th. They weren't allowed to go and get them. They were showing that they were in the back, but they were refusing to go get them for him. However, on the other side of the state where I live, these Targets aren't so hardcore about that rule, and they happily went back. And I didn't personally go.
They're not lazy.
You mean the hourly employee didn't care whether or not a street date was broken?
Apparently not. Apparently not.
What is this country coming to?
But at any rate, I know a friend of mine who went to the store, and since I wasn't able to go myself, and he picked up several, and I paid them for him through him, and was able to get Slag and Dreadwind. He was able to find, I think, one of each of the whole wave of deluxes, and then he was able to find duplicates of Dreadwind, Slug, and I think he had one extra of Jazz. But I know some of them are going toward a giveaway, and I want to point this out. Check out Optibotomus's YouTube channel. He's got some reviews of the first wave of the Power of the Primes Deluxes. And there is a giveaway going on right now through our sponsor, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Where if you watch the videos for the reviews, within those videos there will be some things. Optibotomus will explain it on his YouTube channel. There's a little video about 2 minutes long. He explains the rules, and you can win the first wave of deluxes from Captured Prey and Optibotomus. So that's really awesome. If you get a chance to head over there and check that out after the show, please do. But check out also our sponsor, great CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Also, check out Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with MegaToyFan.com. You can find Mega Toy Fan at all the popular robot and toy conventions year-round, such as TFCon. You can also find him on Facebook. So if you're looking up some great stuff. Actually, a couple weekends ago at the Indiana, or at the Midwest Transformers Meetup, I picked up a boxed complete Minty Fangry, G1 Fangry, and... so I was really excited to get that. He cut me a really good deal on that. So check out Mega Toy Fan and maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with MegaToyFan.com. Also, check out our other sponsor, Ripped Apparel. You can save 10% on your order at Ripped Apparel with the promo code. I am so tongue-tied tonight.
You know what? I thought you said Ricked Apparel, and I'm like, what? What am I doing?
Yeah, you're Ricked Apparel, yeah.
Rick and Morty.
Oh, jeez.
Ripped Apparel. You can save 10% on your order with the promo code TFYLPPOD. So head on over there and check out some great stuff. Matter of fact, today, right now, there is a great Transformer shirt. I really, really, really want it. It is the Last Prime. It's Rodimus Prime holding up the Matrix, and it's reminiscent of the Last Jedi movie poster. I'd really, really like to get that, and I'm thinking about heading on over there and picking that up with the promo code TFYLPPOD at
like I'm doing now.
Yes.
And how much do you get off? Do you know?
It's 10%.
10%. Excellent.
Yes. So, Terminus Giganticus. I know. Whoa! My chair broke. Great. Great.
Are we going to have to edit that out
no,
as well?
No. It's just all kinds of stuff here tonight. You know, just great. Great. Anyway.
In an attempt to make the show more exciting, we sabotaged Duran's chair.
Yes, yes. This just being hilarious. Got in Terminus Giganticus today. Did a live unboxing on the Facebook group. facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. You can go on there and check out the live unboxing that I did for Fans Toys FT20 parts A and B, Terminus Giganticus. That's the masterpiece Omega Supreme. Absolutely enormous and absolutely beautiful figure. Check that out. I got a few little snapshots up there. I still haven't had a chance to set up my light box, so I haven't had a chance to take some really good pictures lately, and kind of got the itch, and it's driving me nuts.
And that's because you're in a new place.
Yes, yes.
Can we talk about that? We acknowledge this life-changing moment for you?
Well, kind of been in the change here for the last month, but yeah. It's a good change. So
so moving on. The Terminus Giganticus.
Yes.
What's the other one that's coming out? The other MP.
DX9 Gabriel. Yes.
Now, is that one bigger or smaller than this one?
One says it's about the same size. Now, Terminus Giganticus here, he clocks in at 26 inches tall at the top of the wings. That is obviously taller than Combiner Wars Devastator and also Fort Max and Metroplex. They come up to about the top of his head, but with his wings, they kind of go up there. I was able to fit him. I was able to remove a shelf on my Detolf, and he fits in two Detolf shelves. I've got him kind of hunkered over, and I got about 3 inches of play above him. But yeah, he weighs about, I think, Eric Dupuy, measured him, or I'm sorry, he weighed him, and he weighs in at about 11 pounds. So he's quite a hefty figure.
Nice.
And he is the size of a small child or a baby. I know
that's bigger than my niece.
Yeah. My girlfriend said that her son was 24 inches long when he was born, so he's actually bigger than a baby. So yeah, he's quite enormous. So let's get on to the main topic of discussion tonight. The topic of mergers. Recently, it was brought out that Hasbro is trying to merger with Takara Tomy. Now,
was anyone ever able to confirm that that was a legit story? Because I never heard anything.
I saw was just TFW, and that was it.
Yeah, it's just a rumor. It's just a rumor. So, you know, I don't know. We don't know for sure that they're actually in talks of that. I don't know the reasoning behind that. Maybe I'm sure there's some kind of benefit from it, if it were true. What do you guys think would be a huge benefit from Hasbro taking over ownership, I guess, of... Well, go ahead, Rick.
Well, benefit, you know, you have to think about it. Benefit to the consumer or benefit to the company?
Well, there's two. It's twofold. So, I mean, let's talk about to the consumers first, because we're selfish and we want to know what we would benefit from it.
That's a tough call. That's a real tough call for me. I can see how it could be detrimental to some collectors.
Do you think they would put a moratorium on import of the Japanese version of the toy, say the Takara Legends?
Here's what I think about that. So when two companies merge, they look at who is redundant, and they downsize in order to recoup some of that money they've put into that merger. And I would say a lot of the people, most likely on the Takara end, would be eliminated. Because I would wager to say the cost of living in Japan might be higher than it is in America. And when you do the exchange, depending on the rate, it might be more cost beneficial to let go of Takara employees. Therefore, you don't have two different groups making two different decos for each toy. Thus, whatever toy comes out domestically and internationally via Hasbro would be the same deco to come out through Takara, because you've eliminated the redundancy of that team in Takara.
But logic would dictate, because we all know that the Japanese market is an entirely different beast than what it is here in the United States. And in order for anything to be, I guess, noticeable over there, that has to set itself apart. You know, that's why a lot of the Takara stuff has fancier decos than, say, what we get here in the United States. Takara Tomy pumps a lot more into the figures than...
Well, I don't necessarily know if that's to set them apart. Remember, it is just as difficult to import Hasbro toys in Japan as it is to import Takara toys into the U.S. and abroad. I would say that, you know, you look at the 1980s, the 1990s, toys were the same. The only difference was the packaging. There were some slight variations here and there, but the toys remain the same. And if you take away the, hey, this collector, Headmaster Don, he's only buying the Takara Legends figures. If you take away that difference in deco and it's now just a packaging difference, then it becomes, all right, well, I don't necessarily need to go buy the Japanese package. Sorry, Don. I'm going to go buy the Hasbro package because it's the same toy, right? Thus, you're putting more money into Hasbro's pocket domestically, thus increasing your numbers that way rather than having a consumer who would only buy the Takara version and not the domestic version.
Well, there's also some things that Takara does that besides paint. And I'll use Takara Legends Target Master Hot Rod as an example. It's essentially the same toy as Titan Returns Hot Rod that we got here in the U.S., but the chest is completely new. It's got a translucent part in the chest, plus the chest is hollow, whereas in the U.S. we've got it's more of a solid inside of the chest. The engine top has a hole for the Target Master. It comes with a entirely new tooling of Target Master, and of course the color differences. So,
but again, it's a redundant position to have someone in the U.S. design a hot rod for this deluxe hot rod. It's entirely redundant to have someone in Japan design a deluxe hot rod for their market, right? When you merge, you try to save money, so you get rid of those redundancies. And that extra special attention to detail, that extra special brand knowledge that the Takara team has, in my opinion, that would be wiped away. You're going to streamline the whole process in order to be a more efficient company overall. And that's what happens in a merger. Mm. So you're going to say goodbye to all those Target Masters and all those special heads that are coming with all the Japanese releases that are forcing the American collectors to not buy, in some cases, not buy the Hasbro version and instead pay a premium for the Takara version. Why would Hasbro continue that trend if they were to merge with Takara rather than just streamline the whole process? You get the same thing in both countries and all countries. We're just changing the packaging to be region appropriate.
You just don't want to shoot yourself in the foot, though, because if that's what is really appealing to the Japanese fans, and whenever they don't get that anymore, it's possible that they'll kill off the interest in the brand.
They're still going to buy Transformers. They're still going to buy Transformers, whether it comes with the Japanese market was still going to buy that hot rod, whether it came with a Target Master or not. And that's the reality of it. And to think otherwise is ignorant of how collectors think.
Well, my thinking is why would Takara even bother doing it if that's the case?
Well, they're doing it because they're a separate entity right now. And they understand not only will they sell this in their own market, they know they're going to produce a certain amount of new units to export. They know that there's an American desire for the Takara version for a more, animation accurate or historically accurate version of these new generation toys, whereas Hasbro doesn't necessarily design along those lines, right?
Mm-hmm. So what's your thoughts on this, Jack?
I can't really think of anything. I think Rick nailed it on the head pretty much. So
Here's the thing. Everyone's thinking about Transformers, right?
Yeah.
It's not Transformers. Transformers would be streamlined. Think about all of Takara's other brands,
Pokemon.
All the other properties that they control in Japan and in other parts of the world where Hasbro hasn't created such a large footprint.
They would basically gain all that access.
The market access that Takara has and all the other properties that Takara has worldwide. That's, I think, the bigger prize than Transformers. because remember, Hasbro has distribution rights to Transformers worldwide. They're only missing Japan. And Japan, when you compare that to the rest of the world, that's a very small piece of the pie right there.
Yeah.
So it's not so much that their interest in Transformers, it's the interest in...
Well, I mean, it's a given because, you know, I mean, they are a company. But, you know, as far as we're concerned, you know, on a Transformers podcast, that's what we're talking about. And, you know, obviously, if you look at the companies as a whole, you know, I mean, that would... I don't even know if My Little Pony would be a thing in Japan, but is it?
Depends on if she's wearing panties or not.
and that's something too. Is I got a question whether or not anyone at Hasbro would be in tune enough to keep up with the Japanese market and produce toys that are highly appealing. And I'm not just talking about Transformers, but I'm talking about things that Takara does that is appealing to the Japanese market. Because, you know, we got things here in the U.S. that appeals to us that doesn't necessarily appeal to them, I'm sure. And I'm guessing My Little Pony would be one of those. But, you know, would that even happen?
I think it has to do more with what the larger Takara portfolio is and gaining access to all those brands. I think when you say, hey, Hasbro is going to open the door to bring My Little Pony over to Japan, who's to say that they can't do that now through a distribution deal with Takara, right? Mm-hmm. Who's to say they can't do that now with a distribution deal for Takara to get Star Wars toys out there? They probably have a deal in place with someone out there to get Star Wars toys out there, right?
Yeah.
Since Hasbro is the you know, has the master license for toys for Star Wars, so I see it more as a negative when it comes to the Transformers brand. I see it as a positive for Hasbro. I see it as a negative for Takara because their employees are going to lose their job. In my guess. And I see it as a negative towards the Transformers brand, but as a positive towards all the other brands that Hasbro has for the Japanese market and all the other Takara brands for the world market. So I can see Nerf being extremely popular in Japan, but who's to say they can't make a distribution deal with Takara right now to get Nerf into that market?
Yeah. So, Don, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I hate to, you know, sound, you know, like Jack, but I mean, you know, Rick has he has the inside information on how all this stuff works. And if I'm outside looking in, I can say, you know, oh, this will be good for this or this will be good for that. But really, you know, Rick sort of nailed it. I mean, you know, it's going to be good for some, bad for others.
And if I can interject,
I just really don't know what to add to that.
Here's another thought. Let's talk about Masterpiece, right? Who does Takara make those Masterpiece figures for?
Japan.
Mainly.
Are you
Japan.
Sure?
But
are you
Asia?
Sure? They make the. Oh, you're telling me Asia. They make those figures for Japan, for the Japanese market?
No,
think about the cost of the tooling. All right, Jack, let's break it down. Think about the cost of the tooling. Do you. If you know anything about manufacturing, you would be hard-pressed to say that Takara can make a profit off any Masterpiece figure if it was sold exclusively in the Japanese market.
I actually didn't mean it. Japan actually came to mind first, and it just slipped off my tongue, but I meant pretty much all of... I'd lost it.
All right, but let's go down this particular line. I know what you're trying to say. Let's go down this
humor,
particular line.
Yes.
Yeah, so... Takara understands that when to design a Masterpiece figure, it's not solely for the Japanese market. I would say they're making the first batch and they're splitting that between the Japanese market and the international market. And then if you look at their patterns of manufacturing, 7 to 8 months later, they go back and reissue the thing. That's mostly for the Japanese market because they've taken a lot of those units initially and they've pumped them out internationally. They've sold them to Captured Prey, to Big Bad Toy Store, to Image Anime, all the different stores out there. All right. So when Takara designs a Masterpiece figure, they're designing it for the rest of the world. When Hasbro then releases that Masterpiece figure, they are retroactively paying Takara for half the cost of that tooling, right? So Takara is keeping that in mind as well, right? Now, there are some vehicles that Hasbro hasn't been able to acquire the license for domestically, I would say most likely because of issues with Mattel and Hot Wheels and Matchbox, that there are certain cars they haven't been able to release over here, right? But for the most part, I think Masterpiece would be affected greatly, because now you're not going to have the Takara team choosing which characters become Masterpiece figures. You're going to have the Hasbro team deciding which characters are going to be Masterpiece figures. And the inherent danger in that is not that they're going to make a poor character selection, is that they are going to change the design aesthetic. Because what is Masterpiece? Masterpiece is a representation of how that figure looked historically at the beginning with MP01. And as it's transitioned here, you know, 10, 12 years later, it is now a representation of how that character looked animation-wise. And let's go back to Deluxe Hot Rod, right?
Yeah.
Hasbro made their Deluxe Hot Rod. Takara makes their Deluxe Hot Rod to look more historically accurate. If Hasbro's leading the design charge on Masterpiece, are they going to make Hot Rod, or are they going to make the historically accurate Hot Rod?
They're going to make Hot Rodimus is what they're going to make.
Right.
It's basically...
So when they're making MP Springer, right, when Hasbro says, we're going to make MP Springer, are they going to design them to look like Springer should look? Or are they going to design Springer to look, he's BMW now, and he turns into a jet?
Well, I'll use Power of the Primes Slug as an example. You know, historically, this is a very accurate slag. But there's some minor differences. The frill of the dino is...
a little bit to the left.
It's... Well, yeah. Like I said,
there you go.
This camera's light is on, but I don't know if it's actually working. So
it's not doing anything. You've been staring at the wrong camera the whole show.
Well, I'm trying to kind of be in the middle here, so bear with me. It's got the frill is like really close to the back. I know that you can actually maneuver the neck to of the dino to where there is some distance between the frill and the back. But historically, he also had wings. The sides of the dino opened up to form some wing-like features on the back of the robot. The Power of the Primes, whether it's a cost-cutting measure or not, does not have that. So
now that's an aesthetic gets into transformation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't have that figure, so is it because of the way it transforms? Or?
It's essentially got the same transformation as the G1. I mean, there's, you know, instead of the sliding mechanism in the hands, they fold back, and the tail tucks away slightly differently. Instead of being on that long arm that just basically folds up under the back, the tail actually folds around and tucks inside of the legs. But the same basic transformation is there from the G1 for Slag. And that's another endearing part to this Power of the Primes version of the toy.
Okay. So your argument is if Takara had done that figure first...
I think they would have...
That deluxe figure, not an MP figure, that deluxe figure would transform more like the original
G1
toy.
I think the end visual aspect of it would have an even more accurate version. Plus, would probably have chrome on it, too.
Let's revisit this when Takara announces their version. Because here's what I'm thinking is going to happen with Takara. They're going to do a chrome version. The tail will be chrome. The frill will be chrome. The horns will be the right color. And mm-hmm. I think there's going to be some retooling on each and every one of those Dinobots when they come out. Maybe not Grimlock, but the four deluxe Dinobots. I think there might be some retooling on those when Takara does them. So we'll come back and visit that then.
Now, you mentioned some major negative aspects that could come from it. From a fan's perspective, Don, what negative would you see out of any merger?
I guess in the short term, you would have a lot of confusion over, like, not just from the final consumer, which would be us, but also the your online stores would have to look for new distribution channels, maybe have to renegotiate contracts.
Only if the products continue to be produced the same way they currently are.
You know, and you actually bring up a good point there, Don. The actual vendors here in the U.S.
Because they might look at this as like, well, if we're changing this now, even if nothing really needs to change on the vendor side, they might say, well, we'll just use this as an excuse to renegotiate everything because it's such a big hoodoo. They can make something that they've been wanting to do but maybe couldn't do because of ruffling feathers or, you know, upsetting the apple cart. They can now say, well, we have to renegotiate because of this great big change. Whether they need to or not, they can make it part of that process and say, we're not going to give you as much of a discount buying the product, or we're going to charge you more for shipping, or anything to make up money, to make more money to pay for this merger, because it's going to cost them money out of pocket before they start making money off the new changes. So if they can get money from this vendor, money from this vendor, money from this vendor through renegotiation,
I would think though that the vendors would actually be hurt more because, for example, Capture Prey, one of the big bread and butters for him is importing the Takara Legends versions of these toys. Now, if the Takara Legends versions are essentially the same thing that we get here in the U.S. After a merger, that market would die. You know, and so essentially he'd be offering the exact same thing you can go to Walmart and get. You know.
And that would be the point. That would be Hasbro's point.
It would actually be cutting out the online retailers.
And by the way, who's selling third party?
Online retailers.
So I mean, you know,
that might be the whole reason why they're doing.
They're not spending that type of money to shut down third party guys, Duran.
That's just something of a possible benefit down the road.
That's a way to twist the deal to their advantage, so in a long term strategy.
Yeah, it's just I'm looking at it from the standpoint of the merger would be a cover for them again. I'm not saying they would do this. I'm just thinking at what's they're going to have stuff they've always wanted to do but couldn't do, either for legal reasons, either for contractual, whatever the case may be. But this kind of thing could be a smokescreen to do all the stuff they've wanted to do but never could quite figure out how to get away with it.
Well, what's the stuff that they want to do?
Well, it's like I was saying, you know, they want to lower the discounts that they give to vendors. They want to maybe charge more for shipping so they're not paying as much for shipping, you know, or if they ship it in the U.S. by, say, truck freight or rail freight through JBL or something like that, they're getting money back by not giving as big of a discounts. Like, their volume discounts could change. Like, you don't get as much of a volume discount now versus then. And they make money back that way by getting more pennies on the dollar with a lower volume discount. They would make money with maybe not as much international shipping and more domestic. So they're making more money that way. It's just, again, I'm looking at it from a somewhat negative standpoint, but all the stuff that maybe they've, you know, thought in the back of their head, like, if we could get away with this, this would make us XYZ. It's just the way I'm seeing it as a potential negative, just the confusion, the vendor confusion. Just, it may work out in the end, but during the whole transition process, it'll be a CF.
Consolidated freight.
That's just the way that I see it. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. I think
it'd just be a bad thing all around for collectors. From our standpoint, if Hasbro and Takara were to merge, I just think it'd just be a bad deal altogether.
I'm going to say this, Rick, real quick, and I'll let you go, Rick. I'm going to say, you know how we always talked about, and Rick, you were a part of this. Everyone always said, why not have the G.I. Joe and the Transformers convention together at the same time? And we've talked about this.
Oh, let's not get into that.
No. I'm using it as a parallel. We keep bringing up about why these things should or should not be together. This is the exact same thing with Hasbro and Takara. It's the same thing as G.I. Joe and Transformers. Some things should not be together because you wind up with a bigger mess trying to have everything in one place. So that's the parallel that I'm drawing.
So
then Hascon. Again, Hascon. Right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. All right. I want to hear from Jack, because if you look around the panel, we got Old Man Don, we got Old Man Duran, and I'm in my late 30s. So we have Jack, who's the young man of the group. I want to know what your collecting habits are when it comes to Takara products. Do you collect any?
Pretty much the only is just Masterpiece. I only have like one Legend. So Legends doesn't really matter all that much to me. But like, say, Masterpiece, I want more. I'd kind of like to get figures, because obviously I don't have any G1s. Well, hardly. But I like to get something to where it represents the G1 figure perfectly. That what Masterpiece does. I like to get a lot more so I can build up my Decepticon army, Autobot army. And I think if this whole merger goes down, like you brought up before, somebody could change the aesthetics, the whole design, whatever gimmicks they may have, accessories, might throw in something odd from one of the newer shows rather than something from older.
Well, you know, that's not something I'm not necessarily opposed to. But here's the thing. I'm sitting here waiting for Masterpiece Armada Megatron. So, let me ask you something. If you had a Takara Masterpiece Grimlock and a Hasbro Masterpiece Grimlock or Starscream, which one are you going to get?
Pretty much Takara, because, I mean, I know they're ultimately the same. But one features a lot more, you know, accessories to where it kind of evokes classic G1, whether it be the TV show, the movies, or the comics. Because, like, Starscream comes with the Coronation Kit. Obviously, ours never got any. As for Grimlock, you got the whole waiter deal. Then you got the crown from the comics, which I'm trying to get into.
Sharp teeth collecting on the Takara one.
Yes. It's just those little tidbits like the accessories that I really like.
The collector coins, which I love.
Yes, I got those too. Those are really nice. And with Hasbro, it's just pretty much we get the base figure. That's it. There's no other gimmicks that you get. Well, pretty much the only really accessory you get with maybe a Seeker is like the little pilot. That's it.
And it's not even painted anymore.
Yeah, and there's no connection. It's like, why would I want something, a little accessory that has no point?
Because it's gang molded and it's easier to include it than just not include it.
Yep. So it's just pretty much the whole accessory deal for me is I like something to kind of throw back to the classic cartoons, movies, comics, whatever, rather than just having something just bland and, hey, it's the character from the show. There you go. But like I said, I like something to kind of
throw more in a premier, a little more premium than the domestic version.
And here's the thing. You know, you look at Masterpiece Star Saber, never would have happened if the merger had taken place. If it ever will take place. Never would have happened, right? Beast Wars. It's off-brand. It's off-brand, yeah. Right? Never would have happened. No Masterpiece figures for that, right? I would even make the point that Soundwave wouldn't have happened.
Because he turns into a box.
Because he turns, and that's exactly what they told me. When Takara showed that to us, I was in my last month at working at Hasbro, and they showed us the Soundwave, the Sideswipe with the new scale, and Hasbro's like, no, it turns into a box. Kids don't understand what that is. They don't know. And look how well received it ultimately ended up being.
Mm-hmm. Especially but in the domestic stuff like release.
That. But yeah. Released domestically because Takara made it, right? They took the lead on it, and if they're not to take there, if they're not there to take that lead, then there's no one there to prove Hasbro wrong.
Yep,
and it was so gloriously proved them wrong too, in my opinion. I mean, the domestic release, arguably. Is a little bit better than the Takara release because you get all the tapes with the domestic release. The Takara just came with Laserbeak.
It's just it's just easier to collect, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
it's easier to collect. Okay, but we talked about the Takara merger, right? As a negative, and if there were ever to be a Mattel Hasbro merger, there are positive and negatives too. But the first thing that I think about. If there should ever be a Mattel Hasbro merger,
Decepticon He-Man.
Oh man, can you imagine those IDW comics? Can you imagine those IDW comics?
That was one crossover I wanted when I was younger. Was He-Man and Transformers?
Look what's happening right now in the comic books. Right, we got ROM, Transformers, Mask, G.I. Joe, Micronauts, and we're on the precipice of Visionaries. Jumping into that fight.
Dawn is like, yes.
I mean, we're on the precipice. All these storylines have been converging in the IDW comics to my satisfaction because it's very well written. And now imagine if you add not just He-Man. You throw in Wheeled Warriors, right?
Does Mattel still have the rights to that?
For the girls.
To Wheeled Warriors?
Yeah.
I thought that was a Mattel initiative because it's a vehicle line.
I didn't know if they even still who the rights holders were still on that. I definitely could see that be
Wheeled Warrior versus Mask. He-Man versus G.I. Joe, Optimus Prime versus He-Man for the Matrix of Leadership, right? He-Man picks up the Matrix. He's the only human that could pick it up. He's the only guy strong enough to pick it up.
And who would not want to see a team up between Skeletor and G1 Megatron?
That'd be fun.
In the match, third-party product, a Megatron that turns into Skeletor's staff? What? That's crazy. How does that even possible? How does that even happen, right? Or like Metatron and the Decepticons turning into all the evil Horde vehicles and Triptychon turning into Snake Mountain, right?
Oh. Metroplex turning into...
Well, hey, and then don't forget you have the whole She-Ra, which would really expand the female character side of that, too. You would get more female characters into
She-Ra
the mythos.
She-Ra versus Jem. Why not? She-Ra versus Jem.
Short fight, but yes.
Well, you know, Jem has synergy. Yeah. So.
But, you know, then you have weird things like, oh gosh, Inhumanoids and Hot Wheels. It's like it's a Hot Wheels set with a giant Metlar in the middle, and the cars are all the Inhumanoids characters, and you have to go around the track and hit the target. And
here's the thing. Here's what I would look forward to: RPMs, right? I and like one other guy, Sean Tessman, were the only two dudes in the world who collected the RPMs, the Rip-Ems, right? I would love to finally see a Transformer Hot Wheel line, a proper Transformers Hot Wheel line, right? All the Cybertronian modes, right? All the, you know, the Trans-Tech modes.
From, like, the figures, right? From the video games, alternators.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't mind that. I mean, yeah, that'd be fun.
Look at it this way. They could bring back alternators under the Hot Wheels line.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not? Yeah.
Well, I mean, all these crossovers, though. But you know, Hasbro owns Transformers and G.I. Joe, and look how infrequently we get a crossover with those two franchises. You know, very seldomly do we even get a nod from one to the other. I mean,
well, here's the thing. That is, you're taking two different toy properties and putting them together. But what is Hot Wheels, right? Hot Wheels is a toy property that 90% of it is based off something else, right? 90% of Hot Wheels is here's the Nissan cars, here's the Ford cars, here's the Tesla, right? Here's the Star Trek cars, here's the Star Wars cars.
Here's
right?
a toilet.
Right. So right. So the, you know, the wacky racers and the original designs make up a very small fraction of the Hot Wheels lineup as compared to real world cars, right? So it's easy to take a brand such as G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask, and make that into a Hot Wheels property, because that's essentially what Hot Wheels is.
But as far as like combining, you know, putting He-Man in the Transformers universe or something other, I just don't see it happening.
That's a comic book situation.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening in the comic books right now, in the First Strike comic books. You have all the different Hasbro properties colliding right now. You know, you look at the current G.I. Joe comic book series, who makes up the G.I. Joe team right now? Roadblock, Scarlet, Snake Eyes, Quick Kick, Rock and Roll, and Skywarp.
Skywarp on the Joes?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's a G.I. Joe. He's one of the most badass G.I. Joes there is, because he can teleport. Right?
Is he painted like a Sky Striker?
No, he's Skywarp. He's got his Decepticon symbols and everything.
And you say Quick Kick, and I think, well, isn't he dead? I'm like, wrong continuity.
Yeah, no, that's Larry Hama continuity. But I think somewhere in that, he probably came back as some kind of zombie, because Larry Hama forgot that he was dead or something. I don't know. I stopped reading those books a long time ago.
So let's move on to another topic here. And this one, I want to avoid as much of our own political opinion as possible, because Lord knows we are inundated with it on Facebook, and we all have various degrees of feelings on the matter. But recently, hot button topic doesn't cover it. Yeah, hot button topic. But this screen share, I'm going to bring it up here on the screen. I know you guys can't see it, but the viewers on YouTube can. This is from Sabertron.com, a blow up of the pick that was shown. It's right underneath. It's on Power of the Primes Jazz. I believe it's on his left arm. There's an Autobot insignia, and underneath of it are four. And this is if you're not familiar with the situation here. There are four symbols that are Cybertronian. And according to a translation of what those symbols mean in English letters, it forms out the letters M-A-G-A. And the most relevant thing today that M-A-G-A applies to is Make America Great Again, which is, of course, the Trump campaign slogan. Regardless of whether or not what you feel on this situation, as far as, you know, well, whether you hate Trump, love Trump, whatever, my personal thought on it is, what the hell is this even doing on a toy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a political statement. It doesn't matter how you feel about the politics of it, if you're a Republican or a Democrat. No political statement from any side should be on an action figure.
Child's toy.
On a child's toy, yeah. We're grown men, except for Jack, who collect.
Well,
and that's no offense.
Let's be honest here.
No,
we're grown men who you know, hunt, trying to hunt down plastic.
Well, let's be honest here. This right here, I mean, these letters literally are less than probably a millimeter high. I mean, so it's super, super tiny on a toy. So not likely to be. Huh?
What if it was a swastika?
Exactly.
Super, super tiny.
Yeah.
On the door. I mean, so.
Cast in white plastic to blend in with the white.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, you know, the thing is, my point is that most children who play with this toy, and we know that the toys are designed first for children, they're not going to know what this means. It's just some funny little squiggles underneath the Autobot insignia. But
here's the thing. I'm going to stop you right in your tracks, Duran Lan.
Okay.
Have you been to Toys R Us lately?
Online.
What's if you go to a Toys R Us, now it's not at every Toys R Us, but it's at a lot of them, right?
Hmm.
What's in every Transformers aisle? Anyone know, Don?
Not a lot.
Jack?
Yeah, usually empty pegs. If it's my local one, it's a lot of empty pegs.
Right. I'm not talking about toy. I'll tell you what's there. There's a little point of sale display, and it's got a stack of papers in it. And those stack of papers is the Cybertronian alphabet.
Oh, yeah. The
I have not seen those, so I wouldn't know this.
Yeah, so every time a child goes to Toys R Us, they're able to take one of these little flyers with them and go online or look in the box or look on their movie toys and translate all the little things from Cybertronian into English.
Mm-hmm.
Now, knowing that and knowing whether the child buys their Jazz at Toys R Us or Target or Walmart, wherever, Captured Prey, wherever, they still got that little flyer.
See, I didn't know that little flyer even existed.
Yep.
You know.
It was for the last night, that Primus that they released. It was that whole Mission to Cybertron or whatever it was called. Mm-hmm. I forgot, though. But yeah.
But the thing is that these four little symbols, they basically spell out M-A-G-A. Now, like you said, unless they get this flyer from Toys R Us, and Toys R Us's are not everywhere, unfortunately, and a lot of our viewership don't have access to us Toys R Us, so may not actually have access to this flyer. The likelihood of a lot of children even knowing what these little squiggles mean is very small, in my opinion. And the reason it's put there, a part of the motivation of putting it there is so that adult collectors who knowingly buy these things would eventually see it wonder what those little squiggles mean in Cybertronian, look it up, and exactly what has happened has happened. M-A-G-A, oh my effing G. What is this? Why is this on my toy?
It's WTF. Blown
up. Yeah, it's blown up on Twitter. It's blown up on the net. It's become an issue. So much so that Hasbro has actually put out a statement on the matter.
And not only did they put out a statement, they put out a statement on a Friday. Hasbro ends their workday at 11:30 a.m. on Fridays.
Yes. I'll read the statement. And it says, it was brought to our attention that a graphic appears on one of our Transformers figures that, when translated from Cybertronian letters to English, spells out M-A-G-A. We investigated the issue and discovered that one of our vendors inserted this as part of the design without authorization. We are addressing this with the vendor. We do not intend for our products to carry political messages and apologize to anyone who was offended by this message. That to me, there's at least two things that scream problems to me. Number one is editorial. Somebody saw these little squiggles, didn't think to actually look them up and see what they meant, and they let it pass by. It says so.
Now, oftentimes, it passed by
without authorization.
Now, oftentimes designers will put in the initials of their kids or their birth date, something like that. That happens all the time on toys. All right, it's just I don't think that's wrong to do necessarily. You put your initials on it in part of the lettering on the side, whatever, right? Now, when they say vendor, here's the thing that comes to mind. I think of two people. They're going to lose their jobs, right? Or one person that's going to lose their job and the other one's going to be
the freelancer seriously that worked at on it.
So typically a Hasbro designer would be the one to do the deco. And what deco is, that is the paint application, all the symbols, the Autobot symbols, the paint in the eyes. In the business, we call that deco. And typically someone at Hasbro does that. But with sizing down, some of that has been outsourced to a vendor. And what a vendor is, it's just a person. It's just sometimes it's just one person. It's a freelancer. It's someone who's sitting at home on their computer. They get an email from a Hasbro designer, says, hey, I need you to paint this in Photoshop and call out all the colors. Like, this is going to be white XL12W29. That's the color white we're going to use for this toy. I need you to tell me all the colors on it. I need you to paint it up in Photoshop. You're going to send it back to me. I'm going to sign off on it, and I'm going to send it to China. And I'm going to send it to the paint shop to get it done. Now, someone in the paint shop looked at it, and knowing that it came from the designer, said, all right, well, it's good. It's good. And I don't think it's the paint shop's issue to double-check what the designer's doing.
I wouldn't think so either.
Nor would they necessarily have the brand knowledge to do so. So that vendor, and it's not a factory in China who's doing that. It's a person who obviously in this case must be an American. They're going to get blacklisted from the vendor system at Hasbro. And the person who signed off on it, got it back from them, signed off on it, and sent it to the factory, they're going to be in some serious shit.
Like, how did this happen?
Why did you not double check your freelancer's work?
Yeah. Don, what's...
I want to bring this up. I'm doing this from memory, so I apologize, but I believe Walkie said on Twitter that when he was working for the Club Magazine, they had asked him when he was using the Cybertronian glyphs and stuff, you know, was anything on there? What did it say? I believe he mentioned that on Twitter, that they did double check with him at the Club Magazine to make sure nothing was going out.
He wasn't spelling out sex and sex and violins or something. Yeah,
right. So if the club is doing that and they're checking that because they need to do that, this is Nexus Maximus all over again.
But that was my job at Hasbro. I'd be the guy who's like, Rick, can you write this out for us? in Cybertronian. That was my job at Hasbro. We even created a font for it so that we could type in it, right? Mm-hmm.
Someone dropped the ball and did not check these.
Well,
check them.
My first thought is that it easily passed by the person who, whenever they got it back from their vendor, from their freelancer. My first thought is they got it and saw four symbols and assumed that it said Jazz. Didn't look it up and didn't double check it. That doesn't excuse it, but I think that's probably what happened, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's
pretty much
what happened.
It's just this crap. There's enough of this crap, like you said. We're all sick of the stuff, no matter what side you're on. Everybody is sick of it, and it does not belong on a children's toy. If you want to make a statement on your own property, make a statement on whatever you do in your personal life.
I think
but
the,
not
the problem.
It's causing more drama than anything.
Well, the problem arises that is it goes right back to the statement that I had earlier on, in that, you know, we see it so much on Facebook. We hear it so much out and about, especially on the TV news. And then I think this is like a final outrage. On the toys that we as collectors collect, now there's political statements on it. What the hell? Yep.
So here's what I would – here's my final thought on this. It brings negative attention to the brand because – it's only a matter of time. Some station somewhere
is going to pick
Fox
up
or CNN, CNBC, someone is going to pick it up, and it's going to bring negative attention. And we're heading into the biggest sales event of the year, which is the holiday season, right? And it's bringing negative attention to the Transformers brand, which is one of the biggest money makers for Hasbro, right? What it also does is, there's going to be new restrictions put in place at Hasbro, right? So it's going to make the designer it's going to mean more involvement from the designers, where they're already taxed to the limit, right? They're already overworked, and now you're going to put in more steps to make sure this doesn't happen again because of one bad apple. And somebody asked me, somebody very prominent in the fan, I don't think they care if I said their name. Carl Hartman reached out to me and he said, Rick, let me do my Carl Hartman impression. Rick, do you think Hasbro is going to pull these from the shelves or reissue these? He's very tall and he speaks with a deep voice. And I thought about it and I said, no, I don't think so. Because when they make them, you know, they're making 10,000 at a time at least, you know, minimum they're making 10,000 at a time.
So the damage is already done.
And I thought about it, and then I thought, what if somebody does pick up the story, and then the other networks pick up the story too? Because, you know, politics right now is, you know, the soap opera of the day.
Blown out of the water.
On cable news.
Well,
so my advice to all you collectors out there, go buy those Jazzes, because I think it's a 50-50 what happens, whether they get pulled from the shelves or whether they stay. It's a 50-50 in my opinion.
Well, you say that about it spreading. I just, one of the people I follow on Twitter is Movie Bob Chipman, who's a movie reviewer out of I think Boston area, maybe. And he has a pretty wide following as a movie reviewer. And apparently he's heard about it. So it's making its way around the internet as being, you know, it's that showing up even on a child's toy,
right?
So
what if guys started, like Pixel Dan pick it up, right?
Who's got this following? Pixel Dan is like just millions of people following him. Just, you know, it's just more crap again, if someone hadn't deciphered it, we would never know, and it would never be a thing. Mm-hmm. But the thing of it is, it doesn't need to be a thing in the first place.
Well, you can't fault the person that deciphered it because, I mean, obviously somebody's going to be curious. But
yeah, no, I'm just saying that we would have never known if this person hadn't saw and wanted to translate it. So that there's that. But
you mean we wouldn't have known it if we didn't have the internet?
Yep.
Probably exactly, or it would have been on a message board somewhere, and nobody would have believed
the internet, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
It's just, I think it all just boils down to is we have enough problems with collecting from prices, distribution,
quality
control issues. This is supposed to be a fun hobby that every hobby has its downsides and its drawbacks and its little niggling little things that just piss you off.
When it starts to feel like work, then it's not a hobby anymore.
Mm-hmm. But when the thing we escape to becomes involved with the thing we're escaping from for no reason that doesn't need to be, that needs to stop. Because it doesn't do anybody any good.
Well said.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, any of you guys have any closing thoughts on this issue?
Not that I can think of.
I think we covered it.
Yeah, let's just not. Hopefully it'll pop up again.
We're mad.
Yes. I personally don't care about the mess, I'm more enraged that if this is a political message, why did the person who actually was responsible for this, why did they feel the need to put it on there? That's my question. Yeah.
And here's the thing. What's it going to accomplish?
It's going to cost that guy his job, too.
Yeah,
it's pretty much. Like, it's like you did something for that's going to achieve nothing to help whatever your goal was. Caused issues for people up and down the distribution chain, caused drama, and nobody likes a drama lot.
Well, you know, unless it's something, you know, well, if it's a vendor, obviously you're not as angry. If you're disgruntled, I don't understand. You know, Rick probably understands more the environment of vendors and how they are handled and treated and stuff like that. But I remember, God, it's been 20 years ago. I worked at a grocery store chain in Florida. And
Publix?
Yes, actually. I remember we had, you know, I was a stock clerk, and we had to pull, me personally, I had to pull several cases worth of Glade potpourri spray from the shelf. Now, if you are familiar with the old Glade potpourri spray, they had the floral design on the side. You know, it looked like it was a picture of potpourri on the side.
It was 1998.
Yes, there was a disgruntled employee at
it was 20 years.
Yes,
98 was the year I was born.
Yes.
Okay.
Damn.
Okay, I'm sorry. What was this now? What was this?
This was Glade potpourri spray. And the picture on the side of the can, the aerosol can, was a picture of actual potpourri. And the reason that the items had to be pulled from the shelf was there was an employee that was working for, I think it's SG Johnson Wax, or whoever, Johnson & Johnson, whoever produced Glade potpourri spray. He was on his final day of work, and he thought, and he was leaving the company, he was upset. He thought a great way to get back at the company was to take a picture of his dick and Photoshop it into the potpourri. And it was printed onto the aerosol.
Oh, that is right.
It was
act like you remember that. That was the year you were born.
No, I found out a few years later. I
Yeah. You can probably find pictures of it on the internet, I'm sure, somewhere. It's the internet.
I remember the day somebody brought that can into high school. It was my senior year. Mike Scanlon brought it in. It was the day the first time Cartoon Network had ever shown a Transformers Beast Wars episode on the air. They were showing five episodes back to back, Monday through Friday. That's how I remember that.
Yes. And so this is an actual thing that happened. And it was all because an employee of the company that was on his way out wanted to get back at the company. And he's like, this is funny. This is going to cause them some negative press. And he did it. And it did. It really, of course, I'm sure some legal issues ensued from that. But I kind of wonder if something similar happened here with this thing on the Power of the Primes Jazz. Could it be that a vendor had an issue with Hasbro, heaven forbid, and maybe thought, hey, I'm going to get back at this at Hasbro and put something that's going to cause them some negative press on their toy.
And then went out and told their friend, hey, translate that from Cybertronians. What does it say?
Yeah. So.
Interesting theory.
That it got, you know, it's like, hey, you want to see what I snuck onto the toy? You know, and you know, it could be that that's what happened here.
Interesting theory.
You know, and that's what it made me think about. It was an actual experience that I had because I was a stock clerk, and it was my job that day to go and pull all the Glade Potpourri spray, and we had like four cases of it on the freaking shelf, you know. Yeah, so we had had four cases of potpourri spray that had dicks on it.
Did you have to mail them back or destroy them?
I think they had to go back to the warehouse. I mean, it's 20 years ago. So
I remember seeing a top 10
list. You think they still got them there, Duran?
That store no longer is open. They opened up a new store about 10 miles away. And
can you ask if they still have those?
I doubt they do.
You can't ask?
Well, I found a bottle on eBay for $20.
Like, ask them if they got any clear Pepsi, too.
Yeah. Well, you guys have any other thoughts on that? Rick, do you want to do a quick box opening real quick?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, this is something we were just talking about, just something to kind of break up the show a little bit. So I've been setting up my collection down here in the basement, and I've been breaking out some stuff that I haven't seen in a really long time. I've been very fortunate to set up my G1. This is most of my G1 box stuff all around me over here and over there. So I just happened to pull a random box that I haven't opened in years from my storage area, brought it down into the basement. And this is the first time I'm opening this box. And we're going to see what's in the box.
Let's see the box before you open it first.
All right. Now, I did.
Okay, like something huge.
Here's the box.
Huge.
Here's the box. By the way, I also pulled this out of storage.
Oh, a bumper for movie Bumblebee.
It's a bumper off a car. I don't know what car it came off. It's a bumper off a car. All right. So here we go. Got some packing paper there. Ah, very nice. We have a Rock Blister Dinobot.
Ooh.
What do these sell for now?
That's rare.
This is the Rock Blister Dinobot.
First wave of Beast Wars.
The first wave of Beast Wars had all the rock, and then they switched to Smooth Bubble, which was uniform. Yep. Right,
and then you wind up with like Cheetor red on rock, Cheetor green on smooth. So you had that whole Star Wars kind of variations going on there.
This is cool. This is the Fractal Pack Rat.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never opened this one.
That was the year that's the 1 year of BotCon I missed was Rochester, and John and Carl was nice enough to save me a set and send me a set of I paid for it, of course.
What did he sell for, Nikon? 400?
Four to five. Yeah.
I haven't even looked lately, but it's because I was going to sell mine because I love it so
Jack,
much.
This came out before you were born.
Yep.
That's probably one of my favorite standalone exclusives from the BotCons.
We have a AM radio with carrying case sealed.
Ooh.
Nice.
Random
that,
stuff.
That is not the enemy if you're thinking about if you're listening to the audio version, it's not enemy.
No. It's the Autobot symbol that flips open to be Optimus Prime space. We have the mini headset radio, which is just Autobot-shaped headphones and a radio. That one's sealed, too. We have the Bath Time Attack Pack.
Wow, that's old school. So
this is from the UK. It's funny, because I have another one of those. We have a carded reflective patch Fireflight.
Ooh.
Free prize inside. Random ass box. Oh, here's another random. We got a slingshot carded.
Ooh, G1. Precision. Yeah.
Precision. Yes.
Slightly yellowed bubble.
Yes, unfortunately. Alternity Bumblebee.
Hey, oh. Nothing wrong with the Alternity.
We have Optimus Prime from Collegeville, PA. The costume.
Oh, okay.
That's a nice.
I'm starting to say, why does Collegeville sound familiar? But now,
yeah. It's a minute.
Let's see, Alternity Optimus Prime. This is a Nissan 350Z. Yeah.
That's a nice fit. I mean, the Bumblebee has some issues, but the Prime, that's a really nice figure.
And this is the Alternity Cliff Jumper.
So lots of Alternity in that box.
Just the three. Electronic intercom telephone system.
Oh, I haven't seen that in years.
Wow.
I remember seeing one of those at a show one time. That was a long time ago, though.
I remember seeing those in stores, especially because we had a Best and Brindle's, which was a catalog showroom.
Nothing
chain.
Like talking into Optimus Prime's crotch.
three things here. Three last things. This
Back
is
then,
the
when it wasn't wrong.
Paper trailer off the Transformers Junior Optimus Prime.
Ah. Yeah, I've actually got the Junior right up here.
Transformers Bumblebee G1 reissue keychain.
Ooh. I mean, remember when those came out? That was like, when those came out, it was like,
yeah, we're getting like reissued Bumblebee.
Let's see, I have
nowadays you can play. Find a KO for like $10.
Who can identify the sticker sheet?
Octane.
Is that Octane?
Wait a minute. Hold it up.
The teal makes it look like Six Shot.
That's not Six Shot. That looks like maybe Leelzak.
Let me see.
Maybe? Needle Nose?
Yeah.
Might be either Needle Nose or Leo's. I'm looking at the colors. Yeah.
I think that was
the thing I was kind of looking for when I said Six Shot was a.
Yes, Six Shot was a lot bigger.
Yeah, you know Needle Nose.
It's Needle Nose because I have my carded Needle Nose right over there, and it's Needle Nose.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the wings, and there is the one piece with the Decepticon as the exact same shape. So. Yeah.
And last but not least, Cobra Buzzbore in the box.
Random.
With the get the fridge.
Oh wow!
Oh,
fridge patch on it.
It's so. Like totally irrelevant now today. People's be like, you know, who's the fridge?
Who's the fridge?
Yeah.
He's a diabetic, kids. That's who he is.
Yeah, but it's weird. I miss some of that GI. I mean, I never collected GI Joe to any degree, but they always had some of the best boxes, the best looking box art. Just really some stellar box art.
Headmaster Don always checking out boxes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of boxes, I've got my own box.
Oh, he's mobile.
So speaking of boxes, he stands up and turns his ass to the camera.
I only have one thing in the box, but it's clones.
Oh!
Nice. I've been looking for them.
Yep. I gotta check my other Walgreens. I have it.
Yep. So yeah,
I'm getting the Takara ones. So
I don't like the Autobot colors. They're accurate to the show, but that's not saying much when they're two tones red.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's found these, and I found RID to, like I said, I found RID to Inferno and Power of the Primes Dreadwind. That's the only power. But also, my friend Blade Raider found the Legends are showing up now. He found Slash and Beachcomber. So the Legends are also showing up at Targets as well.
And
I know somebody who found Slash, Beachcomber, and Windcharger. I think the first wave.
Yeah.
I hope that Windcharger's better,
too.
Yeah. I hope that Windcharger's better in person, because it just did not look good in photos.
Look good in the one photo, actually. Yeah.
Ooh.
I hope it's a lot better than the Combiner Wars, because that one was okay.
Well, hey, Rick, I got a quick question for you. Mm-hmm. Why is all of the stock... why is so much of the stock photos coming out from Hasbro transformed wrong and just...
Because the people that photograph it don't care.
The people who photograph it are not the designers. I mean, the designers are never there.
Yeah, but during
your paint shop,
to
the designer. Designer signs off on it. From there, it goes to the photo studio. Photo people take pictures of it. They get emailed the instructions from the designer, and they try and figure out how to transform it.
But wouldn't you have again? It's the QC there that I'm talking about. Those photos can, because you've seen the way some of the Takara photos come out, like Ironhide.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody liked Masterpiece Ironhide when we first saw the pictures because it was such a crappy photo job. And it seemed like you would want, unless they're physically not able to be there because of distance or something.
No, but
if they're in the same building, like they could say, hey, we're shooting these photos today. Come by and make sure the figure is done properly. So we can, you know, they can pose the figure.
What did we just talk about? We talked about this whole Jazz thing is to put even more restrictions and create more things for people to do. They're already overworked, and there's only so many hours in the day, and they're already stretched very thin.
Well, I guess
so
I'm
they
looking
can't be
at
everywhere at the same place, and that is a criticism.
I guess I'm just looking at it from a marketing standpoint is these are the photos you're going to publish to get people to buy this product. And if your photos look like crap, don't you think that's going to hurt the sales to some degree? It may be a marginal negative, but it still could be a positive with just making sure, hey, let's make sure his crotch is on the wrong side or something.
Remember, Don, the power of positivity.
I've never been positive. I work retail. I've not been positive.
Duran, real quick, Shield or New Day tomorrow?
I'm going to go with the New Day.
I am going to go with the New Day, too. I think there's going to be an upset.
I can't stand the Shield. But anyway.
I'm the opposite. I can't stand New Day.
I love the Shield.
Okay, what are y'all talking about?
Wrestling.
Wrestling. I never watched wrestling except when Sergeant Slaughter was wrestling.
Don, you are on two podcasts that the person that behind the podcast is a huge wrestling fan. So just get over it.
The only time I watched wrestling is when, like I said, when Sergeant Slaughter was wrestling, and that was just infrequent. I kind of preferred American Gladiators.
Damn it, Don.
Okay,
there's just something about Nitro that really, really got him going, you know?
well, in my defense, both wrestling and American Gladiators came on before Elvira.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. I think I hurt Rick with that.
He's like, why do I have to deal with this?
Up for pre-order right now is my latest book, The Unofficial Guide to Vintage Transformers. This is a coffee table book, not a parts guide. It's filled with pictures and with insights. And
Lots of pretty pictures.
Lots of pretty pictures, like this stuff here, this page.
That looks so familiar.
It's got other pictures in it, like this one. And this one.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So, a young man named Duran Land took 80% of the photographs for this book. Nice. By a certain Orson Christensen of Catch and Pray.
Orson Christensen.
What's this?
Just Christian.
He's a Christian. Ouch! And I'm having a cramp. Oh God!
You know what?
Cramp.
You know what? Okay. You know what? I'm pretty sure. I'm 90% sure I spelled his name right in the book.
Christian.
Hey. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
Please tell me you spelled his name right.
At least the logos for Tiflip are in there. And did I spell his name right?
Christian.
Gotta find it first.
H-O-R-S-O-N, right?
Yes.
H is silent?
Yes.
H-O-R-S-O-N?
Yes.
Yeah, H is silent, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, Rick, you were saying from having to white out every copy and then rewrite it in.
I don't care how many mistakes are in that book. So anyway, go to Amazon, type in Rick Alvarez, R-I-K, and pre-order that book.
Pre-order it. We shared it on the TFYOP group, so there should be a link on there as well, so. Now, there's one other thing I want to alert to our viewers and our listeners. December 16th, we're looking at as our final show of the calendar year 2016. I'm sorry, 2017. Let me get with the year here. And that is always our holiday show. Going to try to do something a little bit different with it, but still in the formative stages of it. And then we will take off the remainder of the calendar year, and then come back sometime after the beginning of the year 2018. So be aware of that. Also, with the holidays coming up, episodes may be a little bit more sporadic. As such, like last week, we had some staffing issues and weren't able to get on. And next weekend is Thanksgiving, so there will be no episode next weekend. Just so allow for, our cast members to be able to travel and spend time with their families. So be aware of that. Also,
I don't have a family.
I want to ask the...
I'm just kidding. Of course I have a family. I just don't like them.
I do want to ask the listeners and the viewers of TFYLP, what is your thoughts? And this is a change that I'm considering going forward from the beginning of 2018. And that is making TFYLP a biweekly podcast in that... It is very difficult for us as a group of guys to be able to get together every single week and have availability every single week. I know Don and myself, Rick, a lot of the times we're available, but we have a lot of other cast members that aren't available every single week, and it's just extremely difficult to be able to get together a podcast on a weekly basis. That being said, we're not going to go to a biweekly podcast, but I'm wondering what you guys would think about going to a biweekly podcast. If you think it would be a good idea, if you wouldn't be bothered by it at all, please let me know, especially on Twitter or on our Facebook group. I'm also looking at making a, I've got a backup disk full issue. I've also
sounds like
got
a personal problem.
Yes. I've also got an idea of going to the biweekly podcast to further free up my personal time on the weekends. Gives me a weekend off at least once a month. So there is some motivation behind it. It's not us trying to get lazy. It's not us just, you know, we're not burning out or anything. It's just making it easier for us to produce this show. And quite frankly, there are times whenever Transformers news and things get kind of slow and it's hard to come up with topics. And we've had so many great topics. So it's hard to think, well, what have we not talked about on this show? I mean, we're approaching 300 episodes. So, yeah. You know, we've talked about quite a few topics on this podcast.
And the thing is, Darren, like we've said in the past, we just don't want to do a bunch of news that everybody's seen because so many places are covering that, mm-hmm. and it's important. But
well,
when I was at TFCon, a lot of people were coming up and who watched the show, and several people said that they liked the discussion format that we have.
Well, for example, tonight we talked about things that were in the news, but not specifically. That they are the news. Yeah. It just happened to be a discussion topic surrounding what was in the news currently.
You know, we're kind of like Face the Nation, but not as depressing.
Yep. Yes.
Jack, for you, Face the Nation is a news program that it's been around for quite
some time. Yeah. It comes on after Sunday morning.
Jack, how old are you? Are you of drinking age?
2 years up.
You're, let's see, well, 98.
Wisconsin's
yeah.
thinking about lowering it to 19. So it's weird.
His state is thinking about lowering their standards. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah. Welcome to Wisconsin.
I think they're just trying to attract people to work to live there. Because I remember when my wife was looking for work. They're like, oh, you can make, you know, six figures over here, but in Wisconsin, you can make like $800,000, but you got to live in Wisconsin.
But they have the best cheese.
I do love cheese.
I love cutting cheese.
See, I'm a Brie man, so I don't think they have it out there.
Well, Jack, let me ask you this. I'll move to Wisconsin, but can I still get my Velveeta? You still
That's
have Velveeta up
cheese.
There?
Yes, we do.
That's
yes.
Not
okay.
Walmart's have it. Our Walmart's have it. Yep.
All right, good. Actually, I thought maybe it might be like persona non grata in Wisconsin or something. Because you know, as long as I get my cheese and my Miracle Whip, I'm good.
Yep, we got both. You're good.
Well, all you know, right. Again, I want to ask the question to the listeners and the fans of TFYLP. Please let me know what your thoughts on going to a bi-weekly podcast would be. You know, do you think it would be a good idea for us? And, you know, it may or may not happen, but it's something that I'm considering. We got a little more than a month before the end of the year. And whenever we come back the first or second week of 2018, you know, that would be a great time to start a new scheduling of our show. So I'd like to know what you guys think. You know, please let me know. Twitter at TFYLP, on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Just please let me know one way or the other. You know, if you don't like it, please, you know, you can let me know that way. If you do like it, don't care, you know, at least let me know something. So without further ado, if you guys have another, if you quit farting on yourselves.
I'm good. Thank you.
Yes. We will see you next time on TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
Take care, y'all.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yes.
Be good
happy
to
Thanksgiving.
Other.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.